Hey guys, thanks for joining us for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. On tonight's show, you'll hear from Anya Toschner from Ludwig's Roses. They've got a spectacular line of roses from all over the world, and she's here to tell us all about it. Stay with us.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Rose Chat is excited to welcome Anya Toschner. Anya started working for her family business, Ludwig's Roses, in 2005 and is currently an executive director. She received her training from her world-renowned rose grower father, Ludwig Toschner, and also spent time learning from Tom Carruth of the U.S. and Joseph Ord of France. Roses have been a part of her life since birth, and they continue to empower and lead her through her personal life and her career. Now having brought her to Phoenix, Arizona, to head the newly established Ludwig's Roses USA, and we want to chat all about it. Hey, Anya, welcome to Rose Chat.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be with you tonight.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. Anya, on your website, I saw a precious picture of your family standing in a field of roses. So for you, roses really are a family affair, aren't they?
Absolutely. Even my youngest daughter, who's now 10 months old, eats petals and comes to work gladly.
Could you tell our listeners what started this family love affair with roses?
Yeah, my father comes from a family of nurserymen. So his mother was she was a nurseryman in the war, actually growing plants, more edible plants later, and as well as his father. And he then escaped and started out in England, and there he fell in love with roses. And I think he soon realized that the rose, there would always be a place in the heart of humans for roses. And he went on a search and somehow arrived in South Africa and was quite happy there, and then started our nursery that is today 45 years old. We all got involved.
Well, I think he was right. We all do have a love affair with roses. It's hard to be around a rose and not fall in love with it. Now, this year you started something new. You partnered with our good friend Tyler Francis and his family. So tell us about this new partnership.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. Tyler came to visit us in South Africa, and he saw that we grow our roses a little bit different, that our concept is a bit different, and that we have, so what we do in South Africa is that we have specialist retail rose centers around the country, and we aim on doing the same here in the USA. So we've opened our first one in central Phoenix. It's really an awesome, awesome project. We're doing pop-up urban farming downtown on a seven acre piece of land. And we just do our rose part there. And we can see absolutely, you know, we've got youngsters coming in buying roses. So people who wouldn't maybe necessarily go to a nursery are now walking in and just falling in love with roses and buying them. So
now, Bob Martin, Vice President of the American Rose Society, he came to visit, and he had something to say that caught my attention. He said he bought some new unusual roses. Now, I would think that Bob has just about seen it all when it comes to roses. So what was Bob talking about when he said unusual roses?
Yeah, he was visiting us, and he was sort of walking around, and eventually I said to him, Bob, how am I to understand the smile on your face? And he said, I am so happy just to see all of these roses that I've never seen in my life before. So obviously we're specialists in hot climate roses because that's our background. and we hand selected some of the 900 varieties that we grow in South Africa. We hand selected 300 of them for the USA. And obviously what makes us different is that our selections are a little bit different. So we carry some American favorites, but then we just, we have roses like Liz McGrath that really only we picked up in South Africa. There's another one, Dermalogica Passion, bred by Delbar, but I mean, it is the most fragrant, antique looking rose that you'll find, with big leaves, nice stems to cut. So, you know, we represent breeders from all over the world, and we get to make selections that may not necessarily go in for big, big production, but because we grow our roses differently in containers, we can grow 20 of a variety if that's what we want.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are known for being container-grown roses, so tell me, how's that done?
So basically what happens is that we don't at all grow our roses in the field and then pull them out in the winter, bare root them, and then put them in a container to be grown for retail selling. We grow them in a bag, so similar to a pot, but we grow them in the bag from day one. So what happens is that our customer receives a young plant, usually six months, 8 months old. But what is really fantastic about these roses is that their root system is young and virile. And when you place them in your garden, they just adapt so fast. And, you know, you can grow roses all year round, or plant roses all year round. So we're not restricted to spring sales and autumn sales anymore. We can, you know, we can just grow and sell any time of the year.
Now, you mentioned that there's lots of new varieties that for people like Bob who live out in California and the warmer places. What about those of us who live in the middle of the country in Zone 5B? Are there going to be some new unusual varieties for us?
Well, you know, the truth is that many of these varieties, like Derieux, he's a breeder who lives in Montagny in France, up in the mountains where it's freezing, freezing cold. They have snow. So these varieties they come from colder climates, so they do well in climates. What may happen with some of them is, like Count Dracula is one of them, where it's more of a climber, where we are here in Arizona. But it'll act more as a shrub in colder climate zones. But I think most of the roses, if you look at them, we have a category that we call eco-chic. That means they are disease-resistant, fungus disease-resistant, and those are more the roses that look at for cooler weather, because they just don't get black spot.
Boy, that's music to my ears, and lots of other people's too. Now, where can we see these roses?
Actually, they're all on our website on www.ludwigsroses.com. But if you just Google Ludwig's Roses Phoenix, it'll pop up and you'll find all of our roses there. We haven't quite printed a catalog yet, but if you leave us your email, we'll get to that pretty soon.
Oh, it's going to be so fun to see something new and exciting in roses.
Anya, I had a question. You mentioned Count Dracula. That's intrigued me. Tell me about that rose.
Count Dracula is it is Don Juan with teeth.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah, my father was going to name it Red Curtain, and I said to him, no. No more carpets and curtains. And because it's just... clothes itself in beautiful red, deep cup of blooms. And the beauty of it is that it really repeat blooms, and not just spring and autumn. We're talking about intermittently. It just comes with flushes of blooms again and again. And that's what we want from climbers these days. No such thing as a lazy rose these days.
No, and you know, people expect that. They expect to dig a hole, put it in the ground, and it just starts to bloom.
Absolutely. And here too, we've been talking to our customers and saying, well, give it a try. Continue fertilizing your roses throughout summer. water them enough. And of course, the most important thing is have aerated soil, and you will see you'll have continuous bloom. That is one thing that we've really mastered in South Africa, is that we, with a bit of pinching, a little bit of know-how, we have flowers throughout the entire summer, so 9 months of the year.
Now, something you said at the very onset of this interview was that there's a place in the human heart for roses.
Yes. I remember very clearly where I suddenly knew that I had fallen in love. I was in my young adulthood, and suddenly I was just, it was like being in love with a young man. You know, it was the same kind of feeling. And later on, throughout my talks and really studying fragrance, I came to understand, or what I believe I understand, maybe it's just the shape and the form and this gift of God or the universe to us, but I do believe that the fragrance has a lot to do with it, because if you go back to it, the same compound indole that we find in rose fragrance is the same that you find in a tomato, makes that tomato tasty as well as a strawberry, but it is the same oil that is found in the female womb while carrying a baby. So it is quite interesting that we feel this way about roses. And again, if you look at the shape and the color, it just, I really believe that roses can help us with depression or everyday stress. And then the added benefit of just having our hands in the soil with working with water and just getting dirty.
To me, there's just something magical in the dirt. You know, no matter what the task is at hand, I want to touch the dirt. I want to dig something. And it just does have a very special effect on us, as does fragrance. So let's talk about fragrance for a little bit. You're known as a rose nose, and we do know that fragrance is very important. But I'm wondering, how does one become a rose nose?
I suppose it's the same as lovers of wine. You just you practice it. And I, it's really a thing of just knowing how to smell a rose. I think, you know, most people go and they put their nose into the rose and take a deep, deep, deep breath. Well, what happens is that you actually just anesthetize your senses. So you need to just sniff that rose and then let your limbic system, so your memory, work for you. Now, our limbic system has the longest standing memory, so more than visuals or hearing. And if you just let it work, the fragrances will tell you exactly what you're smelling and what you're feeling while smelling these things. So, I mean, our limbic system is designed to tell us there's smoke, there's a fire, run, or this person smells good. And, you know, we all want to smell like flowers, but had we not perfumed ourselves so much, it would be a lot easier for us to actually know whether we like a person or not a lot faster just by smelling them. Now, with roses, you know, when you smell the roses, yes, colors are linked to certain fragrances. We've gone a little bit with so much breeding. We're definitely seeing interesting trends happening. But if you go and smell roses, you'll find that your lilacs are usually, or your purples are usually more spicy fragrances. Mm-hmm. Your reds are more musky fragrances. Your oranges and yellows definitely have more citrusy tones, and then these mixed colors have just a fruit panache going on. But it's just it's such fun smelling the rose and allowing that fragrance plume to develop from the head notes to the middle notes to the base notes. So it's really about just letting your mind do its thing.
It's also, don't you think, linked to our memory so much of what the fragrance means to us, as ties it to a memory. I take roses to the nursing home quite often. And one of the things, you know, sometimes the roses are more fragrant than others. And when I take the more fragrant ones in, all of a sudden they start talking about stories from their past. And I can just tell that just the fragrance has triggered memories. And I absolutely love that. You know, I think, oh, I wish I could stay all day and hear all the stories that are going to start happening just because of the fragrance that as a trigger.
Absolutely. They've even been testing music and fragrance on Alzheimer patients and how it brings them to lucidity for good moments. It is so extremely linked to our memory. I think one needs to understand that we're all linked to each other, to the plants, to nature, and that just fragrance just helps us remember that we are actually linked to the universe.
There's all these sayings that float around on Facebook and social media, and one of my favorites is, you can bury a lot of trouble digging in the dirt. And it's so true. It's just like you leave your cares there, things become more clear to you there. And, you know, anything that we can do to encourage other people to take a chance on growing a rose or growing anything for that matter, I think that it's just a great expression for people. And it's just also just something that's going to make a difference in their lives.
From working with roses so many years, the emails that we've received, you know, saying somebody has passed and we've been growing a rose in their memory, and those are always wonderful affirmations why we do what we do.
Absolutely. Just recently, I received a note from someone in his later years, and he talked about a rose that I had mentioned on my blog. And he talked about this rose that his wife had loved. And he ended his story about the rose and how so many people had loved it by telling me that his wife was no longer at home with him. She was in a nursing home, but he knew the way to bring a smile to her face, and that was to bring a bouquet of roses. And even though she had Alzheimer's and so many things she couldn't remember, he knew how to make her smile. And ever since I read that story, it has just warmed my heart. Every time I think of them, I feel a connection to them. And just knowing what, you know, it means to him to be able, even in this limited condition, that he can do something special for her.
Oh, that's wonderful. I from all my travels all over the world, I've always known where there is a rose planted, good people live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Anya, I wanted to ask you, you said you traveled all over the world. What are some of the places you visited where they have the most beautiful roses, other than right in your own backyard, of course?
Yeah, I wanna. You know, we have Johannesburg has some of the best gardens I've seen. Really, behind those hidden tall walls, there are some real treasures there. Japan was stunning. That was quite mind blowing. Yeah, here in the USA, the Huntington Garden is one of my favorites. Germany, of course, also sports some beautiful, beautiful rose gardens. And then Italy. We did quite a couple of tours to Italy. There we visited a lady in Rome. So special. Elderly lady, I think she's almost in her 90s. And all her life she's been planting sapling trees. And then a year later she would plant a climbing rose against that tree. So what has happened is that she has these huge trees with rose clouds hanging out of them. I mean, that was just a sight to behold.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds beautiful.
She is known as the Princess of Roses in Rome.
Well, Anya, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your busy day to talk to us on the Rose Chat podcast. We really appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate all everyone is doing to popularize roses in this country and keep them on people's minds, because they really do a lot for us.
Now, to learn more about some of the roses you heard on tonight's show, including Count Dracula, that red rose with teeth, check out their website, ludwigsroses.com. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast, and we thank you for listening. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter, as well as Instagram. We'd love to connect with you. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.